There goes Lance in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans? This is your North Dakota State. Just took down USD at home and moved to 11-2 in the Summit League edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast. Joining me this evening is NDSU's two-time captain of the men's basketball team and Bison Report's lead basketball analyst, Nate Zastro. Nate, how are we feeling after that one?
That was an awesome win. It was fun to watch. They kind of back and forth in the first half, made a little run at the end of the half. I thought when they went up 10, they were going to kind of keep it there. But you knew USD was going to come back with some fight. I wish we didn't let them take the lead, but man, did they make some big shots late in that one. And it was really, really just a huge win. I mean, they haven't lost at home this whole conference season and have beaten out the other top teams there. So that's a win that you're getting, and it's going to go a long ways in these coming weeks if there's any type of tiebreaker situation.
Yeah, absolutely. South Dakota with that. So let's I'll break that down for everybody because I've been kind of doing a little bit of research, and it's something that we talked about on the Insiders today. If you guys haven't had a chance yet, go check out my appearance on the Insiders with Jeremy and Jeff over at Bison 1660. It's posted as a free article over on Bison Report, but we talked about what this game would mean, what a win at South Dakota would mean. So South Dakota State's best player, and I don't know as though this game would have gone any differently, but South Dakota State's best player, Douglas Wilson, had a knee injury prior to SDSU and USD's game in Vermillion. That knee injury kept Wilson out, and the Yotes just about scored 100 points and dominated South Dakota State. That in conjunction with South Dakota State's other loss this season, which I believe was at Omaha, another place where North Dakota State did not lose, means that the Bison now hold the tiebreaker over the Jackrabbits. This means that if NDSU were to split with the Jacks and end up with the same record as South Dakota State, both of these things being likely, North Dakota State will be favored next Thursday to beat South Dakota State at home. They would then win the league as long as they split. And that's kind of the bare bones of the whole thing, is that because the number three team in the league is going to be South Dakota by hook or by crook, NDSU has a sweep of those Yotes on their resume, meaning they hold the tiebreaker over South Dakota State. Now, obviously, South Dakota State comes to Fargo and wins, and even say they drop one of the other games and they finish, you know, with the same record as NDSU, a season sweep of the Bison. I mean, the Jacks are the number one seed. That almost any configuration you can come up with where NDSU wins the league means that they beat South Dakota State in their gym or in NDSU's gym a week from tomorrow. That is a must-win game. So here's what tonight's win accomplished. Number one, NDSU's not playing on Sunday. It's a rock-solid guarantee. South Dakota is now at 5 losses, meaning their best possible record is 11-5. NDSU's worst possible record is 11-5. And so the Yotes would be the lower seed, the 3 seed in that case, if NDSU were to lose out because of the season sweep by the Bison. That also means then that North Dakota State will, as I mentioned, with any type of tie and a win against the Jacks, they will clinch the league by beating South Dakota State next Thursday and either winning at North Dakota, they'll be favored on Saturday, or holding serve on Saturday on senior night against Omaha. So even with a loss at UND, all they would need to do to win the league would be to beat South Dakota State on Thursday and then beat Omaha at home. They will be favored in all three games. Beating SDSU is the biggie, but either one of those other two victories will send North Dakota State to the number one seed. It will send South Dakota and South Dakota State to the same side of the bracket, and it will qualify NDSU for an automatic bid into the NIT should the Summit League tournament not go their way. Nate, did I miss anything there?
Yeah, the one thing to think about there is if South Dakota loses to South Dakota State on, I think it's Saturday or Sunday this week, they will have six losses, which puts them tied with Oral Roberts. But South Dakota has that win over actually, Oral Roberts might have that over them. I'm trying to think here. South Dakota has a win over South Dakota State, and Oral Roberts got swept by them. But Oral Roberts also beat North Dakota State, and South Dakota didn't. So if North Dakota State finishes with that top seed, Oral Roberts could still sneak into that three spot from what I'm looking at here, which makes it very interesting. They have three very winnable games, Denver, Western, and Fort Wayne. So South Dakota could possibly sneak to that four spot.
Okay. That which would obviously then put them on the same side of the bracket as North Dakota State, which I think after watching two now, I think the Simpson kid hit like a 60-footer to close the game. So this wasn't really a one possession victory, but on the scoreboard it was. I mean, this was a game that NDSU won by three. As I mentioned, they, you know, South Dakota hit like a 60-footer to close that one, but this is not a team that NDSU has been able to gap it against. They're not a team that they've been able to blow out. It really doesn't seem like these guys are a team that the Bison want to see in South Dakota or in Sioux Falls, but you know what? None of these teams really are that way. And yeah, you were right. This Oral Roberts team, I got to tell you, they are 7-6 in the league. They're going to finish 10-6 in the league. At Denver, that's a Denver team that has nothing to play for. Then they host Western and host Fort Wayne at the Mabee Center. I don't see a loss there. So you're right. That 10-6 league record, even though they're 7-6 right now, I think Oral Roberts is going to finish the league at 10-6. So an interesting development indeed. Absolutely. All right, let's get into the kind of the nuts and bolts of this game. It was a very evenly matched game. I think the largest lead of this game was North Dakota State by 11. I think at one point the Bison had converted a three-point play and got the lead up to 11. And actually, you know, it might have just been 10. I'm trying to kind of scroll through the game flow here and find an 11-point gap. And I think I might have been making that up. I think the 10-point gap at 48-38 was the big one that North Dakota State was never able to match for the rest of the game. They were never able to match that 10-point gap. So the way that things kind of got started is NDSU was absolutely rock solid, super hot from the floor to kick things off. They were up 4-0. They were up 11-4. And then South Dakota, you know, started making a lot of shots. And the Bison flatline there did not score from the 16-17 mark in the first half all the way to the 11-50 mark in the first half, which was a Tyree Edey free throw. So the Bison flatline for about a 5 or 6 minute stretch in the first half. South Dakota gets out to an 18-14 lead. You're wondering if they're going to kind of establish dominance on their home court. And then North Dakota State closes with a phenomenal run despite some relatively questionable end of the first half officiating. And the first half star, without a question, was Vinny Shaheed and his 15 points. What did you see in the opening stanza from the Thundering Herd, Nate?
I mean, I'm glad they're starting to get out to some quicker starts. That was a problem a bit at the beginning of the year, and then it kind of dragged along to most of the half. But getting out to that 11-4 lead's huge, especially on the road. It lets the home team know, like, hey, you're here to play. Not that USD was going to think anything different. But they were hitting shots from the start, and Vinny really looked aggressive at the start of the game, especially getting to the basket. He had some tough finishes. He got to the free throw line, hit free throws. Tyree Edey had hit some two big threes in the first half, and it was a good start to the game. I hate those dry spells that they have, but it happens in a 40-minute game, and they finished the half really strong. And to take a it should have been more than a 7-point lead, but it was still a 7-point lead on the road. The end of the half there, I still am kind of ticked about that. I mean, that's a 4-point swing in a huge game on the road. The ref bails out Simpson, where he's just driving between three guys, gets the ball poked loose, calls a foul, hits two free throws, and then Ward is clearly past the guys. Guy tries to get back in front of him, spins off him, and like trips him, and just a no call. I mean, that was a big swing in the game, and I'm glad they came out in the second half and kind of established that lead and held on in the end.
Yeah, I was chatting with a buddy from the NDSU athletic department who were certainly going to allow to remain nameless, but we were both kind of talking about the fact that it just has not been a great year for Summit League officiating. And I think we maybe say that every year, but not just, you know, anti-NDSU calls. That's not necessarily what I'm talking about. Over and above that, though, just inconsistency and missed calls. There were, you know, that honest end of the game deal with Vinny when he, I think the second to last time he shot free throws, it wasn't a travel because he got rid of the ball, but that foul, nobody touched him. He fell on his own and got the ball over to Tyson Ward, but he got to shoot two free throws there in a position that I don't think anybody touched him, but you're right. The Jared Samuelson poke away at the end of the first half, the Tyson Ward getting tripped. Even one, I think Rocky got away with a charge where the kid clearly got outside of the semicircle and got his feet planted and they called the block. Just really spotty officiating in this game and all season long in the Summit League. But what are you going to do? You know, it's mid-major basketball. It's not that, you know, officials are getting harder and harder to find, both at the high school level and at the college level. And, you know, even bad officiating, in my opinion, eventually seems to even out. You know, I think the Bison got just as many bad calls that went against them by the end that went for them. That, I think, is kind of how things panned out. A tight rotation, and that's something else that I kind of want to discuss with you, Nate, is that the Bison had a really tight rotation. You had 35 minutes from Vinny, 32 from Rock, 38 from Tyson Ward, 30 from Ty Edey, and 28 from Jared Samuelson. This was the first. Now, Hagedorn basically plays the five for South Dakota. They play five out all night. So Cruiser becomes kind of a matchup problem, but no Wits, for the first time maybe this season, was a DNP coach's decision. When he's been available, he's gotten time, and he didn't. They played Chris Quayle for 1 3-minute stretch. He had a nice block, but as has kind of been the issue on the offensive end, just jacked up an air ball and got pulled from the game on the offensive end. Griso with kind of a limited 16 minutes because of four personals, and then Cam Hunter with 18 minutes. But, man, 28 solid minutes from Jared off the bench. Tyree Edey turning into kind of locking in his spot, I think, as a starter, certainly for next year's team. With 30 minutes tonight, this was, you know, that's one of the criticisms of Coach Richmond moving forward, is as we get into March, that rotation gets shorter and shorter.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at this road trip and you're thinking, if we split these two games and take care of our home games, we're going to share the conference title. I think tonight was a game that if you win, you're in really great position, considering North Dakota's a little more towards the bottom of the conference. But it didn't matter if it was a better team tonight or Saturday. That's just kind of how it's been. I mean, you got to find a way to win on the road. You're going to ride the guys that you trust, especially at this point in the season. And we thought those guys earned trust from earlier in the year when kids like Notek, Malik Carden-Hayes, Witz, Quayle, those guys all played when Griesel and Samuelson were out. So we thought they were going to earn trust through that, but It's just kind of how it is. In February and March, you're gonna trust the guys that have taken you this far and kind of ride them. Hopefully it doesn't come back to bite them with fatigue as we head into the conference tournament, because it's going to be a Saturday game, and then hopefully Monday, Tuesday. That's what, 120 minutes in 72 hours. So, these guys train for this, and hopefully the legs hold up and they take care of their bodies.
Yeah, Jason Miller does a phenomenal job, and we talked about that very briefly after last year's Summit League Tournament Championship. North Dakota State was not a Saturday team. They were a Saturday team because they were the four. No, they're a Sunday team.
Yeah, they went Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
They were Sunday team. Yeah, they won Sunday, Monday. They won three in a row. Yeah, they had to play Western on Monday because Western had just beaten South Dakota State. That's right. So, three games in 4 days, much different than three games in 3 days from a rest perspective. But, yeah, I've said this before now. I don't think it's going to matter because they want to build their resume as much as they can for a potential March run, and a 14-2 league record. That's not that they're on the same level, but a 14-2 league record, if they were able to achieve that, that's a 2013-2014 Bison level stuff. That was their league record.
Yeah, if they get to that, a 14 is probably locked in. You can, if they do that and win three games in Sioux Falls, you can start thinking about them. That net ranking and BPI is going to start getting a little higher probably than those teams that they're kind of competing with. It's really jam-packed. When I did that bracketology stuff the other day, those 13 and 14 seeds are within like 15, 20 in those rankings. So, those could flip-flop at any point in time given who they play. And a 14-2 league record is a lot more gettable now. I think tonight's win really put them in great position. Obviously, you still got a tough game at home with South Dakota State. Road wins are never easy. You still got to play a rival on Saturday. And then Omaha has shown that they're a good team, but playing them at home, you're a lot more comfortable doing that, especially last game of the year, senior night. It's hopefully going to be a big crowd, and got to send those seniors out with a bang.
Absolutely. No, for sure. And yeah, you talk about 20, what would that, it'd be 24-7. They'd end up 27-7 is what the record would be going into the tournament selection. That's a 14 seed, just based on what ends up happening as far as, other one bid league teams getting upset and like happened, frankly, to South Dakota State last year. That's how the Bison ended up in the play-in game, but if they were 27-7, and riding what would be a 14 game winning streak, I believe at that point, that's a 14. If it's not a 13, but that's a 14 all day long. The 13-14 team was a 12er, but they had beaten Notre Dame at Notre Dame, which North Dakota State doesn't have a win like that. They just don't. ETSU at home is a hell of a win. And that's something that we've talked about in the past, but that is that's a hell of a win, man. They are now 24-4. The Bucks are, and are frankly on the bubble and probably on the correct side of the bubble for an at-large bid. Really incredible season by Steve Forbes' crew.
They actually took the conference lead tonight with a win over Furman. So I think they'll be in the automatic qualifier and the bracketology, but I think the most recent one, they were on the last four in. So, they're going to be thought about. Their win against LSU was huge, and just shows you how big of a win that was for NDSU. And I think that's going to really help them as far as seeding come March. What other of those mid-majors that are kind of being seeded by them have a win like that against another mid-major who's getting in at large? It's going to go a long ways, I think, in March. I wish they won that Utah Valley game so they don't have that bad loss on their resume. But, teams like Marquette, they do the eye test now. That was a close game till late. Marquette's going to be in there in the 6-7-8 range, another at-large team. And obviously Kansas State's having a bit of a down year Would have liked to potentially get a win there, but they played a decent non-conference schedule as far as just tournament teams. I don't know how – I haven't looked at the other mid-majors' non-conference schedules too much, but that ETSU win is huge. Hopefully that goes a long way.
For sure, for sure. So the second half, we haven't really broken that down yet. I mean, just really big plays from NDSU's veterans. Vinny Shahid with 27 tonight. I think unless something really awful happens here, I don't have a vote, unfortunately, because there aren't a lot of answers to Bison Report in the rest of the league. You know, like there's not a Jax whatever. You know, there's not a Jax only site on Rivals or 24/7. There's not a Coyotes only site on Rivals or 24/7. So for Bison Report to have a vote, you know, it would be viewed as a slanted type of thing. And I understand that, you know, I get it. But unless something wild happens, man, I really would struggle to find a player of the year candidate over Vinny Shahid, especially what he just did to Tyler Hagedorn in Hagedorn's gym. Douglas Wilson, I guess, is somebody that you could maybe consider, but Shahid's numbers are quite a bit better. And if they beat South Dakota after this performance, if they beat South Dakota State at home, I think Shahid just locked in the, I really think he just locked in the player of the year. I really do. I think that that's the level of basketball that he has been playing all year long. 27 a night, man. He's been so good. That shot. And if you guys check out the piece over at Bison Report, you can see Vinny's huge, huge fadeaway from the right corner, mid-range right corner, basically clinched the game, in my opinion. And then the ice water in his veins after, I think, like an 0-3 or 0-4 start for Rocky Cruiser, that three that he banged in with a minute 58 to go with absolutely no hesitation was just rock solid, man. And he's been so good the last couple of weeks. And that's honestly what makes North Dakota State such a problem. If you can corral Douglas Wilson, you can beat the Jacks. I know Dentlinger's a good player, but, man, Vinny and Tyson, any night, it could be Tyree Edey. It can be Cameron Hunter. We've seen that, you know, version of NDSU. It can be, obviously, Rocky Cruiser. And we haven't even had, which we had, I think, in both the Summit League tournament and the NCAA tournament, we haven't really even had the Sam Griesel game yet. There's just so many ways that this Bison team can beat you, regardless of the what we would call thinning rotation or what we would call a shortened rotation. All right, take a little time to pay some bills, and then we'll preview the final. We'll just preview the UND game, actually, because we're going to have to get together for a podcast next week. Bison Report's going to be live in Indianapolis. Believe we're going to be the only ones from the market, from the North Dakota State market, live in Indianapolis for Derek Tuska's combine appearance and his workouts and his media availability. So be sure to stay tuned to Bison Report for that, and stay tuned to Bison Report Radio. So we'll have Tuska stuff, we'll have South Dakota State stuff, and finally we'll have Omaha stuff on next week's edition of the show. Guys, I want to take a quick second out of the show to chat with you about Rise Fitness over in Moorhead, Minnesota. Rise is co-owned by North Dakota State legend Chase Morlock and Minnesota State Moorhead's Aaron Lean. They are trying to find a better way for young athletes in the Fargo-Moorhead area to train specifically for their sports, and also have found a way to kind of design a nice little versatile option for adults. And that's what I've been doing. I've been in the gym. I've got a baby girl coming on April 4th and want to get back in shape, want to be there for a long portion of her life, want to be healthy and be a little bit more fit. And they've got availability that's fantastic. 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 a.m. Then they go from 11 to 2 for those of you with a little bit of freedom during the day. And then they've got 4 and 6 o'clock classes for both athletes and adults. They are very available and they are very hands-on. They're doing the training themselves. This is not an Anytime Fitness or a Stamp Fitness, membership where you just go in, the energy's on you. These guys create the energy. Aaron and Chase create the energy, and they do a phenomenal job. All right, Nate, an opportunity exists this Saturday to sweep North Dakota for the second year in a row. This game will be played on Dave Richmond Court at the Betty Engelstad Sioux Center.
It's a big one, and North Dakota's played decent at home. You know they'll want to beat a rival. They don't have too much to play for. They're pretty locked into that 6-7 range as far as seeding. They actually were with South Dakota for most of the first half tonight. They made a couple different runs. I was kind of watching that on the side. Marlon Stewart's a really good guard, one of the top guards in the league. He has the ability to take over a game at any point. I think if we get out to a quick start and just got to find a way to win. At this point in the year, you just got to find a way, and I think NDSU has enough experience, and they're playing really, really well right now, and it'll take a pretty off game for them to drop that one. So just get the ball to Vinny right now. Vinny's playing at a really high level, and hopefully he can have another big game for them. But like you said, it's been a different guy every game. I mean, hitting shots late, it's been Cam Hunter, it's been Rocky, it's been Vinny, it's been Tyson. They just have so many different options that if one guy's not having a good night, they have guys all over the place who can make plays, and it's been great to get consistent play from Vinny most of the year, Tyson actually most of the year, and then it's been kind of different guys every night, and it makes them a matchup nightmare for these other teams. So on Saturday, just find a way. You know it's going to be a rivalry game. You know it might get chippy at sometimes, but find a way to win and get out of there and then end the season with two home games and go win a conference title.
I can't believe I got no respect on the Dave Richmond Court at the Betty Engelstad Sioux Center joke. That makes me angry.
I didn't even get to play at the Betty. We played at the hockey arena, and we didn't win. So,
right. No, I remember that game. That was a rough one. I remember Gene Taylor probably MFing the officials and down on the floor because Braun got fouled on a last-second layup attempt. And that was before, you know, Gene's very polished now, very relaxed. And that was before that time. But man, I remember he was pissed. Saul was pissed. Taylor was pissed. Everybody was just absolutely outraged at the end of that one. That was not a very good UND team that beat North Dakota State that year. And then the 13-14 team lost at the Betty, got their butts kicked actually at the Betty. The team that beat Oklahoma in the NCAA tournament went up to Grand Forks and got smacked. But as I mentioned, this is Dave Richmond Court at the Betty Engelstad Sioux Center. Coach Richmond, in 6 years at North Dakota State, has never lost in Grand Forks, which is a heck of an achievement, especially when, you know, some teams that he had weren't great, weren't up to the standard of Bison basketball, and still finds a way to go up there and win over and over and over again and grab that road dub. And this road dub would be a big one. It would lock in an unbelievable 6-2 road record. So few teams in the Summit League get to 6-2 on the road. That's just phenomenal basketball up and down. Frankly, if they lose up there and they go 5-3 on the road, that's phenomenal basketball. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think UND, after getting smacked at home by South Dakota State, giving up 94 points to the good Lord, giving up 94 points to the Jackrabbits. I think that they understand where they are. They're going to be a mid-level team. They're 6-7 in the conference. I don't see a lot of light at the end of the tunnel for the Fighting Hawks. 12-15 overall. They're probably going to lose their last three games. They host NDSU, then they go to Omaha. That could maybe be a toss-up, but then they're going to go to Vermin, lose on Saturday the 29th. So UND going to be that, you know, 5-7 seed in the league, and they aren't that good flat out. And that's not a place that the Bison have struggled to score. It's not a place that the Bison have struggled to win, but it's a big one. It's a big one because a win against UND locks in Thursday's game. It locks in Thursday's game against South Dakota State as, hey, guess what? This is for the title. You know, if we win this game, we are Summit League champions, and we get the one seed down in Sioux Falls. We get the opportunity to, go to the NIT if things don't go well in Sioux Falls. And you never want that to happen, but it's something that South Dakota State has been able to do a couple times that NDSU hasn't. Every time NDSU's won the league, they have won the tournament. And they've never had that opportunity to play in the National Invitational Tournament. It would be something that would be cool. I don't think it's anything that Tyson Ward or Vinny Shahid or really any of the other veteran leaders on this NDSU ball club have any time for, though.
Yeah, it'd be a nice opportunity, but you're not going to Sioux Falls to even thinking about that NIT. Yeah, it'd be cool for fans to maybe see as a different little change of pace, but I think all fans would still rather go to an NCAA tournament site and go watch for a potential upset. But just as like a media person, NIT would be a fun tournament to cover. It obviously has some really high level teams, but we don't want to think about that. Let's get that one seed and let's go to Sioux Falls and go win that thing.
Absolutely. What an impressive run by this team. 7 straight, 11-2 in the league. This, you know, we knew this Bison team was going to be good. A young team goes out, wins, you know, mostly sophomores and juniors, goes out and wins the league, wins the Summit League tournament. Hangs with Duke for a half, wins a play-in game, you know, wins the school's second NCAA tournament game. Really, really impressive now to be 20-7, to have an opportunity to win the league, to be, you know, to have locked into place a winning league road record is super impressive. And guys, I'm going to get up on a soapbox for just a second. If you're listening to this and you are one of the anti-Richmond people, it's just time to let it go. It really is. You were wrong. You were wrong. Get over it. Move on. I've seen folks that continue to move the goalposts. You know, he's not that good. He hasn't won an NCAA tournament game. Well, he's not that good. He hasn't won a Power 5 game yet. Folks, I don't think you remember the dark times, you know, the reloads of a Saul Phillips, the reloads of a Tim Miles, building up a group of juniors and seniors every year. Dave Richmond's NDSU basketball program is competitive year in and year out. They have won in his 6 years as the head coach now. They have 4 20-win seasons, which is really the benchmark for mid-major basketball, because you basically schedule 3 or 4 losses against high majors every year. So you're behind the eight ball there. He's got 1 19-win season and 4 20-win seasons in his 6-year head coaching career. He has turned NDSU basketball from a place that, you know, was really good with Woodside and Nelson and Winkleman. Then they were really good with Braun and Bjorklund and obviously our boy Nate. And now they're good every year. And they're going to be good next year. I was just going over this with somebody else talking about next year's group. You could have a starting five of Cruiser, Griesel, Harden Hayes, Jarius Cook, and Donald Carter III. With a deep bench of Hunter, Edie, Notech, and Witts, you're 9 deep next year. They're going to be good again, and probably the year after that, because they'll have Griesel, Harden, Hayes, Cook, DC3, Edie, and Notech, and then they'll have bigs ready, you know, in Noah Christensen and in Grant Nelson, long, athletic, gifted big men to take over for Cruiser. And for Witts, this is a program now. And like I said, you just get over it, move on, and argue about something else, because you were wrong about Dave Richmond. He is a very, very good coach at this level and, frankly, at any level, and the Bison are lucky to have him. The results just speak for themselves. Nate, did I miss anything there?
No, I mean, if – you got to think, if he wins another tourney game or they beat a Power 5 team, you can open up your checkbook or he's going to be gone. I mean, he's a North Dakota guy. I know he loves it at North Dakota State. And he's always talked to me, and it's always been about building a program. He doesn't want to come in and bring in a bunch of transfers, junior college transfers and grad transfers to try to win right away and get out of there. He wants to continue to build a program there, because he's from around there and he wants North Dakota State to be the best that they can be year in and year out. And he's proven that he can coach with less talented teams. And now he's got an experienced group and he's proven that he's going to continue to win with his system and program with experienced guys. So I think we're really fortunate to have him at NDSU, and hopefully he can continue to stay there, and he's going to continue to build a program. I know Vinny's a junior college guy and Don Carr is a junior college guy, but they were going after high school kids before they just ended up going somewhere else. And they kind of need, point guard's the most important position for him, obviously, if he's going to go that route. But I think he's gotten the right kids when he has gone that route. So he's going to continue to build with high school kids, develop them. He trusts him and his coaches to be able to develop these kids, and it's just going to keep rolling through. And I think they're always going to compete as long as he's at the helm in the Summit League, just from how they develop kids and have kids keep rolling through.
Yeah. I mean, if you're being honest with yourself now, you're in a position where you're hoping that, you know, Richmond is, you know, has some sort of plan where he wants to see his daughters go to NDSU, or he wants to see his daughters graduate in Fargo. Because if they win the league at, you know, even shoot at 26-8, but when they win the league at 27-7, and say they 3-14 somebody, or they 13-4 somebody, people are going to call. And I'm not convinced people haven't already called, but if that kind of stuff happens, people are going to call. All right, folks, thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Nate, for your time. We really want to appreciate everybody that took advantage these last couple of days of the two for a dollar opportunity. That's something that we were really excited to offer, 2 months of Bison Report for $1, checking out the VIP area. We're going to be running specials, guys. If you're not a VIP member, it's a phenomenal way to support the show. You know, we have Nate and Trevor will tell you, we were able to send these guys really top of the line microphones. The money that comes into Bison Report, obviously, you know, I've got a baby on the way and mouths to feed as it is now. But we, as Bison Report's budget expands, I promise you, we reinvest into the product. You can see that in the video, what we're doing with our video side, that's getting more and more advanced. You can see, you can hear it with the quality of the podcast. Go back and listen to an early Bison Report radio podcast. I promise you, it doesn't sound like this. So we would really appreciate your support in that way. Otherwise, you know what? If you're not into that, it costs nothing. This show costs nothing. Tell 10 NDSU friends about the show. Have them subscribe. Have them leave a 5-star rating. It's big for us just to have you guys listen. I mean, that's what we do it for. This show is always going to be free. We are never going to charge anything for this show. And we just want as many people listening, as many Bison fans to engage with us as we can. All right, folks. Thank you guys so much. And go Bison.